We'll call the meeting.
Right now, we just got the bids.
And I believe we have the full committee. And we have the one here from government in attendance. Did anybody call?
I haven't heard.
Okay. So, that's our roll call. If everyone did receive them, approval of the minutes from the previous meeting would be next from our meeting in July.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Yuhon, seconded by Supervisor Nordegan to approve the July meeting that was held at the Pringle Nature Center. All those in favor, you the governance committee?
Aye.
Just a short comment. I know that we were all informed that, you know, everyone naturally works on the budget just about year round. But it's in earnest coming down to crunch time. I had a meeting with Ray and the county executive last week going over hours. And it's being finalized as we speak, so we will want everyone to be thinking. The county board chairman had a separate meeting that they handed out inquiry forms. If there's anything anybody on this committee is thinking about, inquiring about, now's a good time. Everything's in the works. Anything that you want to adapt from last year into this year. And those meetings are all coming up soon, so I want everyone to be prepared and ready for action here. The fall is it's flying in now with August here. That's all I have. Any committee members, supervisors, anything?
I do.
Supervisor Nordegan.
A couple of items. One had come up in the past, I think. Ray, you had said you were going to contact Chairman Stoll, mm-hmm. Randall, for that culvert. That
yep, I talked.
There's still water. There's water still.
Yeah, so it's hard right, to even dry as it
there.
Is.
Yeah, and it's the only place I think in the western part of the county has water in any of the places it shouldn't be, but where it goes when it's too much. But did you have a chance to talk?
Yeah, I talked to him week before last. Mm-hmm. Explained to him that what we believe the correct fix is for the elevation of the culvert to come up slightly, mm-hmm. and there's going to need to be some feather work kind of done on each edge of the culvert. And so he was going to run that past the public, if there's a public works committee or whatever committee yeah. handles that at the town, okay. to get approval for doing that. Because the estimated cost was $6,000, and we could do the work for the town and then do the kind of adjacent work and take care of things as well. So okay. he's aware of it, and I know it's in the works on there.
Okay, so it's at Randall right now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then the second one, this came from Salem Lakes. On Highway B, south of 50, I think there's the ice trail or something that goes across B. There's a marking to walk across or whatever it is, or some. Mm-hmm. They're asking if there's a possibility of putting some sort of indicator, and I think you guys have them, Clement, like at it, for the high school, Central High School, I guess we. You press a button and it flashes, or it's constantly flashing to watch that this is a cross area. They're asking about being able to evaluate that to see if that could be put there as well.
So it's Clement. It's basically where that trail comes off from the park.
I'm thinking, I kind of remember receiving, I could take a look.
They asked me to ask. That's all.
Yeah, we can take a look. The only question is that we can only provide advice.
Right. Right, I think that's what they're looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we can do that.
Okay. I will have them contact you then.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's the one by Breezy Hill?
Yes. 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 Thank you.
Anybody else?
If I could, just for the dates of the budget meetings, did we announce those? I'm not sure. And October 1st is when the county executive releases the budget. And our October committee meeting is the 7th. That's the first Monday. And then I think we need to have our budget meeting. We usually don't have it during our committee meeting on the 14th, which is a Monday, because the next Wednesday on the 23rd is when we will meet with the Finance Committee.
Okay.
7th, 14th, 23rd.
What is the Finance Committee? I'm sorry, 19th?
Wednesday the 23rd.
23rd.
Thank you.
For real? Dan just informed me the Packers are playing Detroit on the 14th. So.
What's your point?
Packers. Quick budget meeting?
Yeah.
We can have it early.
Just a trivia, mere trivia.
Anything else unpleasant, Jim?
No, thank you.
Okay. So if not, we will move on to division reports. Golf is first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In golf operations, our next big initiative is the Kenosha County Open. We'll be playing that August 9th through the 11th. Our first round is going to be at Strawberry Creek. We added them this year as hopefully an additional draw. We get some membership from there that's playing, and then we'll have our second day at Brightondale on the Blue Spruce, and then final round on the White Birch. As of last count, I believe we were at 64 right now, so we're hoping that today and tomorrow we get some late-minute sign-ups. It's going to be 3 days of a great competitive golf, so great golf courses, so hopefully we get some a good amount of players in that. Then after that is our Kenosha County Executive Cup. Will be Tuesday, September 10th. This will be a...
10th?
Yeah, I believe it is. That's a typo, sorry.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So we're really looking forward to this. We serve lunch and dinner and award a bunch of prizes. Mr. Kupfer has been very, very big help the last several years on recruiting all of our prizes. We usually sell this one out at 144 players. I believe we'll get there again this year. It all supports our junior golf program. So we had over 160 children that are going to be affected this year by the support from this tournament, so that's great. Our junior clinics went really well. We had a week-long one with the RecPlex that went well. We had two different PGA junior leagues where Brightondale did really well again for seven years in a row, and then we had our 7-week clinic that we had 125 participants in that just wrapped up last week, and we had a big banquet for them on Sunday, and that was the most players we've ever had in our junior clinic, and then we had 120 people show up for our final banquet Sunday, so it was really a good send-off and lots of positive comments. A lot of people, yeah, I'll be back. I'm going to tell all my friends, you know, that really is growing. So we use all of our technology. We did, video analysis of all their swings. You know, they really got a kick out of seeing themselves on the video and that type of thing and finding out their swing speed. So it was really a good season for that. And the golf course conditions are just phenomenal. I mean, you know, everybody that comes in to comment really has positive things to say about our golf courses. Ryan Rutherford, our new superintendent at Pets, is really making a difference over there and very, very much a pleasure to work with. And then Brightondale, you know, everywhere that we didn't have standing water, the conditions are just great. So a lot of good, positive golf experiences from all of our guests. And TaylorMade's coming out with their new equipment this month, and so we're scheduled another demo day. Hopefully it's better than the ones that we had in the spring. So that'll be, we're going to try again August 24th. And then we're working with, probably the premier marketing company in golf, the one-to-one marketing on our branding and social media and websites. So, I think they look great. We just started putting some videos together. We got to work a little bit on the quality of the video, but if you saw my email blast today, that did come out, and Doug Scholsky is on there, our head professional from Brightondale, and he was inviting everybody to have outings at our facilities. So I think the content was very good. I think Doug was well-spoken, but I think the quality of the video needs to improve. So we'll see what we have to do to get that better. But the Pets cart path replacement, we got our lone bidder came back, it was quite high. So we will be evaluating what we have to do with that bid and going forward with the project so that hopefully we can still get it going October 6th. because they certainly need it to pass there are really deteriorated. We're putting together a plan with our wastewater treatment operator now for the finishing pond at Brightondale. We have to dredge that pond and scoop out all the nice stuff on the bottom and then let the water leach back out and get rid of that stuff. And then our parking lot lighting, we want to kind of switch over to the same lighting that's here in this parking lot where, you know, it can be dim and then all of a sudden it'll see motion and come up brighter. And we have old sodium lights that are really in poor condition and very not efficient. And so we want to switch over to this better lighting package here. So that's what we have going. July was a good month. August is going to be a better month.
When you drain those ponds, don't eat the tomatoes.
Thank you. Good advice.
On the finishing pond, that work, is that like extensive? I don't know, do you have to get DNR permission and all that stuff, or is it a different type of, is there a lot of permitting and licensing?
No. Okay. No. It will be working, I believe, with Pat's. Jeff Bratz is our wastewater treatment plant operator now. He also operates the Kansasville plant, and so he's very versed on all this.
Just a thought. I don't know if that was something we had to work towards. Okay, great. Thank you.
Anything else for Dan? Thank you, Dan. We will now have citizens' comments. Seeing none, we'll move to Mike Friend.
We recovered nicely. Starting with the ongoing project list, courthouse chiller replacement project is almost done and carrying on for quite a while. I reported in the words here that the commissioning was progressing. I can report that Friday we had that commissioning and it went really well, so that is done. Because of that, we're going to target August 31st to close it out, so you should see a closing on it next meeting. Second one is a new one at the county center here. We're replacing the chiller and reconditioning the ice tanks that work with it. So this is a project to replace the rooftop chiller and recondition the three ice storage tanks on the second floor, right above us actually. We accepted a bid from Illingworth Kilgust, say that three times fast, for $253,000. And the project was estimated at $260,000, so it came in just where we wanted it. Pre-construction meeting was held on 7/10. Work's going to start on October 21st after AC season is done. And then we're targeting completion for 4/1/20 of next year to be ready for air conditioning season once again. The third one is also a new one. And we're calling it Remote Generator Monitoring Project. What I'm reporting on right now is just one generator that we're doing. It's kind of an experiment. I don't think it's going to be any issue, but it's just kind of nice to start this way. This is basically a project to install a web-based monitoring system on one of our backup power generators. The system will automatically notify us by texts and emails to our building chiefs, our electrician, when there's a power outage. So if we have a utility failure, it'll alert us that the generators have kicked on or not kicked on. And a lot of times, you know, when we're not manning the building, there's no one there to tell us that. So this gets us that information when we didn't have it before. So we'll monitor loss of primary power. It'll give us warnings for potential malfunction and actual malfunctions themselves. The capabilities provide us with the ability to both avoid these issues and expedite issue resolution. The first one's at the pretrial billing, and the cost of that is $15,000. And that's going to start on Monday afternoon. Take 4 days, it'll be done by Thursday. In the 2020 budget request, you're going to see $130,000 requested for the other 10 generators. And they'll do basically the same thing to all those.
Mr. Poole, you have a question?
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. The $130,000, is that mainly for computers to monitor this, or is this for sensing equipment? It seems like it'd be just like a PC there and then, you know, a voltage monitor says it's on or it's off.
It's real close to that, yeah. The unit is called the PC-500, and it's a Cummins-based piece of equipment, which is the generator company takes care of our things. And they install it on each generator, and it would pulls contact points off the generator, the ATS switch, different things like that, and then it can relay that through the cloud and get us information.
So I want to clarify something, too, that it's not just on or off. sewer outfall, that it really monitors, especially on the Cummins ones that we can put it on. We'll have a full range of information that's coming back in terms of, we'll see it as temperatures are rising, if something starts to get into the yellow zone before it gets into the red zone, a message will go out to Mike's guys so that, hey, there's something going on, we need to take care of this before it shuts down and causes a real problem. So it's not just an on-off. That's a, that is one of the key features, but it monitors a bunch of functions. Those sensors on the Cummins ones, it's a relatively easy retrofit because it's a Cummins product. But on some of the other units that we've got, we have Kohler's, we've got, I think we've got Caterpillar. Yeah, so we've got a number of others that are gonna, we're gonna have to do some custom pickup points for sensing various things, temperatures, oil pressures, things like that. And then those will have to be routed into that, the Cummins piece of equipment. And then we'll be able to monitor everything. Key people within the facilities department will be able to have.
So it's mainly sensors then?
Sensors and the actual, there's sensors installations and then a monitoring system as well that, that connects to those sensors and reads what information's coming off those sensors.
Okay, thank you.
Do those generators have to be cycled every once in a while periodically? So will it monitor that as well?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then you'll know, I mean, does it do it now or no?
It cycles.
It cycles,
and
no,
we know when it cycles, it's on a schedule.
But you don't know how the performance is, and this will monitor that performance?
Correct.
As well as
ongoing when it's actually on.
What's working, okay.
Yep. Yeah, we cycle everything, and depending on the application, some is weekly, some is monthly, some is, yeah.
Okay, Mike.
The second list is the focus on energy list, and in red there you'll see that I added the KCC chiller replacement project. Marked it as pre-construction until it gets started. Shows the start and stop dates. Annual savings of only $445. There isn't a real big capture here. No incentives from Focus on Energy on this. And I have to say, too, I'm starting to notice a trend year by year as we go through these things. A lot of times these projects will start one year and carry over and finish the next year. And we'll apply for the incentives. They'll say, oh, yeah, the catalog says, you know, it's $10,000. You know, so when we're done, you can send it all in and get a check for $10,000. Courthouse one actually now is just finishing up and carrying from last year. That was listed at $10,000 as incentive, and this year it's been downrated to $6,000. So I changed that on here. I didn't put it in red, but that's something to note. We Energies is kind of scaling back on their incentives for the HVAC projects.
Any questions for Mike? Thank you, sir. We will move to...
There's a letter to finance.
Yeah, there's a letter to finance.
Yeah, that's the main thing. So Jim and I can probably cover this. It's a letter from Mike, but we're kind of all aware of it. Basically, because I've delegated Mike to help out with the project, it's for the UW Extension P&D, the co-location project down there. We got the bids in for that, and we had three bids, and they were all fairly close. So that was the good news. The bad news is that they came in all consistently high. So we had $100,000 budgeted for that project. We need $45,000 to actually do the project. So we've held the awarding the bid. We haven't made any awards. We would need to transfer $45,000 from, the best place to do it is from one of the roofing project budgets that we've got money left over. It's within the same appropriation unit. So we're basically requesting the finance committee to transfer that $45,000 from the roofing projects into the UW Extension P&D co-location project so we can get that done this year, and then next year start to take a look at that vacated P&D, vacated UW Extension space for sheriff and joint services use so they have a bigger presence out here. So that's basically what this letter, we always bring it to the committee for informational purposes as well. But it doesn't require formal action from our committee per the rules. It just requires formal action from the finance committee. That accurate, Jim?
Beautiful.
Okay.
I have a question on that. I know that, at least since I've been on the board, talk about how the costs are going up for construction and all that. It's a 45% increase over what the estimated was. we're going into budgeting for next year. Are we taking this into account that we could be anywhere from maybe a little bit under to 50% over? Or do we know why this particular project was 45% under bid or under expected?
Yeah, I had the architect pump up their estimates from what they would normally, because we know our architects, and some of them are a little more optimistic than others, and so we take those numbers and we typically will pump them up in this environment. We didn't used to do this in the past, but now knowing what's going on, because we know that some of the information they're working off of is 6 months to a year and a half old, so we're pumping it up. We did that in this case, and it still wasn't enough. And if we had only gotten one bid in, or a couple, and maybe they were spread way out, but these were literally, the base bid on one was $131,000, the second one was $124,000, and the third one was $117,000, and then we actually net, this is just for the construction, because there's engineering and stuff in addition to that for the total project budget, but that was for the base bids. And then we took some stuff out in order, we had it set up so we could delete some stuff if they did come in high, and we've got some of Mike's skilled trades folks doing the electrician work. I think we didn't do the plumbing work because it came in so cheap, but we pulled some stuff out. We're still over budget. So we feel that the three that came in, it was two local bidders, and well, all three were local bidders in this case. There was a guy that came from the Janesville area, but he didn't end up putting a bid in, the guy that showed up for the walkthrough. So if they came in that close to one another, then our estimates are just...
And I guess what I ask is, why does this project, because I haven't seen any projects this high of a percentage over, or under for that matter, what was special about this project that it came in so much higher? Is there something you can identify as something that was, well, we didn't consider this being that expensive than it is, or?
No, yeah, and so there's not much to it, because it's a tiny project.
Could that be it, that's such a small project?
And that's probably, because from a percentage standpoint, because it's $45,000, but on a percentage basis, given it's only $145,000, right, it's a big percentage. That makes as much sense as any. There wasn't anything missed. There was nothing like, oh, man, yeah, we forgot about that.
Here's what I'm getting at. Should I be allowed to be on the board next year? I don't know if our project's coming in this year, we're going to have that extra $45,000 in a roofing excess money, because we're going to be putting it everywhere else. And next, you know. So
all I can tell you from a budgeting perspective is we don't try to budget low.
I understand that.
Well, and we don't try to sandbag or anything just to get the things passed. So I think for next year, as we've been going through these projects, and there's a lot of small projects next year. Mm-hmm. We did try to put all that in, and like Ray said, with certain
still
of these architects,
yeah,
you have to watch out. So we do goose those up, but we don't want to just go asking for money that we don't think.
And that's fair, obviously.
And with forecasting, you're never going to be right. You're going to be low.
Yeah.
Going to be high.
Yeah, you expect to kind of balance out over time. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you remember last year, I was reporting, and the year before, that this was going to happen,
right?
And that we were, and we have been taking a step back from some projects, mm-hmm. Because it's going to continue. When you look at a small project like this, and it is small, any contractor will tell you the mobilization cost exceeds a larger project, because there's so many little bits and pieces. So they can't set up one group of people here and bang it out, because they're doing a little here and a little here and a little there, and remodeling, and so it costs them more, mm-hmm. to come in and do it. And if you can set a crew in there and say we're there for 4 months, and it's...
Unless we can group a few of these together or get them to bid two or three projects to...
We've done similar, like in Dan's case, we did that, and we grouped a couple things together,
yeah,
came in really high, so then we tried splitting them up in an attempt to get maybe the individual components,
high.
And those still came in high.
Yeah.
So, it's just, okay, what we're doing, like Jim was saying, as we're looking at projects for next year, we're trying to carve out, if there's anything that makes sense to put off, mm-hmm. we're putting off, because we do feel this is a sign of the times right now, but if there's something we can put off two, three, 4 years, we're trying to do that because I think that this, especially any site type work, this isn't a site project, but anything that involves grading or excavating, if we can put that off for 2 to 3 years, we should be in a much better, we should be in a much better spot. And even on just the regular trades work, like this one's just a regular trades job, hopefully that'll be the same case.
Okay, that was just something.
Quick question regarding joint services in the Sheriff's Department. Since you said that they're gonna look at 2020 at the vacated space. Now, is that up to joint services to put the bid out? Because it's a separate entity and, you know, with the Kenosha and the county together, to be able to put out an RFP for design or for...
Yeah, so how we'll work that is, just like when we did the addition on the public safety building, joint mm-hmm. services, we got a new dispatch center in there. So what we did, the county was the lead because it was the county's building, and they currently have a backup dispatch center here now. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we take the lead, but we incorporate them into the process so that all of their needs and everything are built into it. So I already talked to Tom Gensner, and we discussed how we're going to go about doing the project. This will be kind of his area of it, will be a mini piece of like what we did for the public safety building addition.
But does joint services budget pay for that design?
There's a formula that's set up for all that stuff. So mm-hmm. so that same formula will apply to this project.
So I will see that in the 2020 budget with joint services next month, if this is being proposed for 2020.
I don't believe so, because I believe the way it works is when the project is executed, then as the costs associated with that project are allocated per the formula, those come in afterwards. So in other words, the project's done, the costs are calculated, and then the allocation going back, if the PD is involved, it's the same formula. So the PD or joint services, there's a process and a formula that it maps all that out. So those, there was never anything in the PD's budget or joint services budget for the addition to the public safety building, but all those charges associated with the work done there that is joint services mm-hmm. and PD, there's a formula and a process for all that.
Right, so it like the shooting range this year.
Right, that'll same thing. That okay. was actually a county project. We mm-hmm. paid all the bills for it, but it, correct?
Yes.
We're paying all the bills for that, and then the allocation of those costs goes back per a formula and a process.
Right. And split between the two entities.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
But this will be solely the Sheriff's Department.
Well, there's a chunk that
well,
will be
Well, there's
joint services
involved in this, too.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's Sheriff and
but
joint.
But the city won't be...
The city won't be involved other than through joint services.
Right. Yeah.
Their percentage.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Jim. I appreciate your questions. And this is, I want to echo what the chairman said. The more these, when you get the budget, if we can talk about these ahead of time and get them done, that's what we'd really like. That's all. I just wanted to repeat what he said. So we don't mind those questions at all.
All right.
So that's pretty much what the memo that we're going to Finance Committee on the 15th, I think it is.
Now we'll move on to projects, Frank Martinelli.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anderson Arts Center Preservation Project is going well, pretty much on schedule. The HVAC rough-in is 55% complete. All the equipment is delivered and on-site. There's just one more piece we're waiting for, but that's arrived. The piping is in full swing and progress. As we said before, the windows and shutters advanced through the restoration process. There's quite a few of them on that building. The east half of the roof elevation is 90% complete. Now they're setting up the scaffolding on the west half, and they're about 10% complete with that side of the roof. That's going well. Now that when it's not raining like it was in the spring. The new toilet rooms in the garage are 70% complete. Those are going along well, and we're still on target for a project completion for November. If no questions, we'll go on to the Branch One courtroom renovation project. As you might have seen, we had our ribbon cutting for Branch One on July 15th. All went well. The judge was very happy with the courtroom and the new technology, and the project is substantially complete. No questions with that. We'll go on to the KCAB refresh. You know, again, limited interior refresh of the public office spaces to include painting, past water damage repair, carpet millwork. The staff was able to move in on August 1st. We're just finishing some punch list items and things like that with the contractor.
And as for everything in that, we'll be complete.
Everything in there, we took on, like Ray had mentioned, we took on the restrooms throughout the KCAB with our work crew. You know, we've got 3 out of 6 done. We'll knock off the others, but right now with the weather, we've got them working outside,
yeah,
tackling projects. On rainy days, we'll bring them inside for the painting. No other questions? We'll go on to the ceremonial courtroom restoration scoping project. Again, the architects and the engineers are hard at work, you know, with the information, trying to complete the report, the scope, estimated costs, restoration. Again, we're going out with looking at public sources of information and grant funding, and actually Nancy Rotana, Matt Collins, grant writer, we just got, it was a small grant, still $5,000. So that's it.
Thanks. Any questions for Frank? If not, thank you very much, Frank. And highways would be next. Clement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In front of you, there's a resolution for your review and approval to confirm the appointment of Lieutenant Kenneth Oakhart to the Kenosha County Traffic Safety Commission. There was also an attached resume that highlights the fact that he has at least 21 years of law enforcement, his experience in enforcing traffic safety laws and guidelines makes him a suitable candidate for Traffic Safety Commission. The staff recommends his approval if it's suitable.
Yeah, and he informed us he couldn't be here this evening. He actually has a very good resume and is willing to serve. So, anybody has any?
Good question. Was that attached when you took it in here? Because I can't find it.
What, the resume or the resolution?
Just the letter and the resume or the proposal.
Should have been.
CPD, P&D, maybe it's. Did you find it?
No.
The resume. Maybe just John and I.
The resolution is here, but I don't see the resume.
Yeah.
You want a copy of the resolution? Mm-hmm.
No, we have the resolution, the resume.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't? That was I think that was intentional because we got a complaint from one of the.
I usually send it to the supervisor.
You do send it to supervisors? Yeah. Okay.
But maybe
okay.
I didn't.
It was on the fact that you sent me because I got it.
My packet has it.
Yeah. And she sent me the same. Did you get it?
Must have come in the mail today.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get any mail.
This thing is
for
me.
Okay. No. So we did get a complaint from one of the previous. That's why I was thinking maybe it wasn't attached, because one of the previous appointees was worried that their resume showed their address and stuff. As well, this one shows the sheriff's department address, so that's what they probably need to do going forward. And we didn't think about it, but they made us aware of that. But I don't think that's what happened here. I think it just got attached later to the packet, so that's just a misstep on our part.
No worries.
Yeah. It does look like it was included in the mailed out.
Yeah. I think I got it later. Because I mailed out the paper packets later than I did the email.
You got it on hard copy then?
Yeah, came in my packet.
That's resolution authorizing.
That's why I like paper.
There's two of them. This is Parks.
Yeah.
do we need to take action on this tonight?
We do.
As far as you know, Clement, he knows what he's getting himself into?
Yes.
And he actually wants to do it?
Yes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Juhan, motion by Supervisor Skowitzki. Yeah. Sure. Any discussion? If not, here's the governance. Committee?
Aye.
Approve. Thank you, Clement. Now your report, the big one.
July was a favorable month. The crew took the advantage of the favorable July weather and completed a significant amount of paving, 3 miles of County Trunk Highway MB and 1.9 miles of County Trunk Highway X. We did regular maintenance, routine maintenance work, which includes mowing, ditching, and other significant repairs. And covered repairs. And we also had some other significant repairs, which we had to hire a contractor to do it because of the nature of the work. We're replacing two 60-inch by 46-inch elliptical steel pipe culverts on County Trunk Highway NN, just west of State Trunk Highway 75. This required closure on NN and traffic were properly detoured. In addition to our general maintenance, we are also doing state workers on state highways. A crew completed shouldering project on I-94 from state line to County Trunk Highway E. The crew is also scheduled to start paving on state trunk on the East Frontage Road, just north of 165. And also some paving on the southbound ramp on 165. On county project, County Trunk Highway S, phase one, that is from State Trunk Highway 31 to County Trunk Highway H. Plans and bidding documents were submitted to the Department of Transportation for review and approval on August 1st, 2019. Bidding is scheduled to be released on December 10th, 2019. Construction remains scheduled to start in the summer of 2020. Right-of-way acquisition is progressing and targeted for completion by the end of the year. Discussion between the county's legal team and the attorneys representing one of the property owners are ongoing. Demolition of already acquired buildings are also ongoing. County Trunk Highway S Phase 2, that is between County Trunk Highway H and I-94. The right-of-way acquisition is ongoing with completion targeted for year end. A mediation meeting between the county's legal team and the attorney for another owner of one of the properties took place on July 17th to try to settle the issues out of court. Discussions are still ongoing. Demolition of already acquired buildings and utility coordination remain in progress. Construction remains targeted to commence in the spring of 2020. County Trunk Highway F project, real estate acquisition is ongoing for this project, with completion targeted by late August. Coordination with utility companies is also ongoing, and utility relocation will commence as soon as demolition of the buildings on the full takes are completed. As a follow-up on June 5th stakeholders meeting, the county continues to work on the drafts of the intergovernmental agreements with the towns of Randall and the village of Twin Lakes to formally address issues identified in the meetings discussions. The realignment project is targeted for bidding and construction to begin in 2020.
I have a question. What did Randall do? They shot down the $400 buyout of
Right, so actually...
200s of an acre?
The town chairman called me today.
Yeah.
And explained what had happened, and we talked through a couple things. He wanted to know, like, what the impact of that vote would do, and so Clement's actually working with the design team to find out if there's a way to just tweak things and not need that little sliver of property. And I'm hoping that we'll have that in the next day or two. We'll have information on that.
What side of the road was that?
It's on the north side, right? North side, right by the park.
By the park?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little...
On the southwest corner of the park.
Okay.
And it's about how much?
0.019, wasn't it? 0.019.
Yeah. He indicated that he was working with the folks to understand what their concerns were, the board member folks.
Right.
And that this Thursday he was going to have another vote on it. So that was where he left it with me today.
Is that they're in a joint, probably joint meeting?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how the...
Okay. Is there a plan commission?
I think it's a plan.
Plan commission first forwarded it down.
Yeah.
And then the other. And it would help if the town chairman would come to our meetings.
Yes.
And maybe he would have understood and been able to push this through.
Because he's on the plan commission, too.
Yeah, he's been at our meetings via... Oh, right.
He seemed like he just didn't expect, I think, what happened.
Right. So he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Unprepared.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. County Trunk Highway K project between County Trunk Highway H and the CP Railroad. The design and relocation is also ongoing. The county is also continuing to work with the city to determine how to incorporate the design of the section between the CP Railroad and the UP Railroad to combine the project with the county's original section of the project. The city and the county are also continuing to discuss stormwater utility relocations and funding options, all of which needs to be resolved in order to determine the project schedule. The Foxconn project, County Trunk Highway KR, there was a lot of significant progress this last month. Again, because the weather is good, the contractor, the concrete pavement is currently being installed for the new three westbound lanes. It appears these new lanes will be completed sometime this month. County Trunk Highway KR is now closed between I-94 and County Trunk Highway H to facilitate all these new and fast-paced activities going on in the area. The section of County Trunk Highway KR between H and EA is now open. The construction team is targeting the end of 2019 to complete all six lanes of County Trunk Highway K between I-94 and H. And the last section of this report is County Trunk Highway KR between County Trunk Highway H and 41. The design is substantially completed. They've made a lot of advance in this section of the project. And the design team is fine-tuning the design. Right-of-way acquisition is actually ongoing as we speak. And construction is targeted for next fall of 2020. And that's all I have.
Just one question on the Highway F from 50. I guess we're doing some road work down in there. Do we know when that's supposed to be complete? Behind the McDonald's and the
Paddock Lane.
This month sometime it'll be done.
Okay. Yes, they were hoping by mid this month, but yeah. You know, with construction anything can happen. So I would say no later by the end of this August.
For Labor Day. Okay. Thanks, Tom.
So on S, do we have just one property left in phase two to acquire? Are all the other acquisitions completed, at least closing-wise?
For the full things, I don't think there's any full things now. I would say For the major acquisition that would require relocation, yes, there are just two properties, but it's owned by one person, by the same person. For the partial takes are still ongoing. They are close to completion. I would say 80%. I can give it, I don't know exactly where they are at this time, but I would say around 80% of the partial takes, because I try to separate the partial takes from the full takes. The partial takes, I would say about 80% is complete.
Good, good. And on KR between H and DA, did they actually do pavement down, or did they just make it passable for residents? So from H to EA?
I think they made it passable. I didn't have the opportunity to drive it.
I didn't.
Yes, but I think it's passable, because I thought that I saw new asphalt on the ground. The only time I went there to drive it, there was some traffic issues there, so I just drove past. But it's paved, so I would say temporary pavement is down. Asphalt pavement is down, so I would say it's very passable.
Okay.
I don't know whether you have.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to say was that the intersection itself, like the spur off of the intersection down KR, there's quite a bit that's concrete now, because it's all going. I don't think it's planned for all of KR to be concrete, but all of KR between H and the interstate is concrete, and that intersection is all concrete. So when you go through there, yeah, you'll see that the spur on KR and the two spurs that go north and south on H, it's all concrete and it's all complete, those areas. But they didn't do anything remote on H going east. They didn't do anything with the existing pavement other than kind of that area right by the intersection.
From H to EA?
Correct.
Yeah, just kind of repaved it? Or
they did, no, they just did that right by the intersection, but they really didn't do anything going
not
east.
Long,
yeah.
Say,
yeah.
No way they could have made
no.
Anything else for Clement? Thank you, sir. Next would be Parks, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing that we have for the Parks Division is a resolution authorizing Director of Parks to accept a grant from the Fund for Lake Michigan for $150,000 to support the Pets Pike River Restoration Phase 2. So currently we're underway with developing engineering plans for phase two of a three-phase project within Petrifying Springs Park. So this $150,000 will basically be put into a pot reserves, and we'll keep on trying for more and more grants until we have substantial amount of money to ask the county board for permission to move forward construction on phase two. So this definitely helps us, puts us in the right direction. And we're just asking for authorization. This is 100% funded through Fund for Lake Michigan. No matching funds required for this one to accept.
Move to approve the resolution.
Moved by Supervisor Norrigan to grant acceptance.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Cummins to do. Okay. Brinkle. Any discussion? If not, youth and governance. Ready?
Aye.
Motion carried.
All right. Then next for division report, first item on here is the Kemper Center restroom modernization. And as stated on the report, the bids were rejected and project will be rebid in the fall of 2019. One of the bidders did not fill out the proper pre-bid qualification form. So in order to be open and transparent, we're just deciding to reject all bids and do it one more time to make sure they get that paperwork right on the front end. Pike River Restoration Phase 1. Contractor completed all the remaining punch list items, and the project is now substantially complete. We still have warranties for all of the vegetative materials that will be ongoing for the first growing season, and then Kenosha County already has a project agreement with Tallgrass. They're an ecological company to monitor for the next 3 years after this year. So we'll make sure that invasive species are still handled properly, that we're still looking over the river corridor, because the last thing we want is to invest this much and just to let it be forgotten about. So we have a long-term plan for that river.
And is that Tallgrass Restoration at Schaumburg?
It is, yes. Okay. Yeah, they've been great to work with.
I'm
not too sure where they're located.
I believe they're located out like west of East Troy.
Yeah. They also are in Schaumburg.
Well, they might have a satellite office down there.
Now that, and even in Milwaukee, I think they're building.
They have several outlets, yeah, though, I think.
They're growing, for sure.
Because I know they're expanding the main plant out here. They're building a whole new kind of headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't realize they're working on the fence thing.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, that's who our main contractor subbed out with, Tallgrass.
Really a good subcontractor. We're extremely knowledgeable on these, and I think that's why they're in such demand. They're working down there. They're working all over the place.
Well, we're in the process of a subdivision. My wife and I live in to consider going with them around our ponds that we own. Hmm. So it's good to know that you guys give them two thumbs up.
Yeah. They're considered about the best in the industry.
Really?
Yeah. I've had, clients that I work with.
I can use that art.
Next up is Pipe River Trails restoration. Recently, we were finally awarded, formally, the Kenosha County 50-50 match grant. So the DNR's portion awarded was $157,630 to rehabilitate approximately a mile, a little bit over that, of hiking trails. And these are existing hiking trails throughout Pets Park. So this project was approved in the 2019 county budget. Typically, we usually hear on stewardship grants in September of that previous year. Just took a little bit longer for this one. So just wanted to make the committee aware that that was formally awarded. And we're looking at doing this project in 2020 just to get better bids back for next year. Moving on to the Pets Building and Ball Field project. The new restroom facility is now open to the general public. Their subcontractor put down the wrong mix. So if you drove past the park, restroom facility looks awesome. The contractor did a fantastic job with that one. The ball field definitely needs some work. So we're not leaving them off to accept that project as being complete until they take out all the old diamond mix. It was sub-quality, so we did not accept it for what it was. And hopefully that'll be put in with a specified diamond mix within the next week or so. So we're just looking for an update. But they told us last week, Tuesday, that they'd have it done in 2 weeks. So we're holding them to it. So Pringle Nature Center, as we always do, just take some time to review those attached reports as we always put into our committee meeting. And then special events, I won't again go through all of it, but we're in the thick of the summer, so lots still going on, but something to emphasize is our picnic in the park. We finalized all of that event and activities. So just including, we have three bands in there starting at 1:30 p.m. We should have approximately 15 or so food trucks. So the traveling food truck tour is going to be coinciding with our picnic in the park. And that was extremely successful the first time we had that when we were not rained out. Throughout the day, we have about 15 or so local not-for-profit organizations that come in and help, and then they can disseminate information about their nonprofits, do handouts. We have fairly large bounce houses that are free to the general public, so there's something for everyone, and then fireworks right at the end. So highly encourage all committee members to participate with that great event. And parking, we have Western Kenosha Transit to help with parking over at UW Parkside, so that shouldn't be an issue either.
Is that taking place?
It's at Petrifying Springs Park, right adjacent to the Deer Garden. We have a large open space, so it's all going to be centralized right there.
Thank you.
And then last, I'll pass out, this is a draft copy of our Twilight Tour. The address needs to be updated for Katy Park, as probably some people would note on there. But this is kind of a cool event that we're partnering with a neighbor to the north of Katy Park. His name's Paul Maggio. He owns a substantial chunk of property just to the north, and he does organic farming. And I actually got to know the neighbor last year where he's building a house off the grid. So he's completely into the sustainability movement. And we were looking at ways to identify some type of collaborative efforts with what we're doing at Katy Park with our prairie restoration sustainability movement. So we're doing a twilight tour that the general public can take a tour and learn more about all of our improvements through phase 1-2, as well as our prairie restoration. And then we're going to shuttle over to Paul's house, and they can actually take a tour of his organic farm process, and more of a farm-to-table will be going on.
Well, you sold me when you said Red Oak Restaurant will be on site.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's
several times.
Yeah, fair price, $15 for that too. So very informational. It really highlights the community out west, as well as what our park's mission is for. So again, I encourage people to partake in that one as well. So I'm sure that'll fill up pretty quick. And that's all I have.
Thank you, man. Ray?
So the first thing was kind of a tag team thing that between Jim, Andy Bueller, and myself put together. Because there's been, so I think everyone on the committee is aware of the floodplain buyout program the county's been involved in since like the mid-90s. And there was a pretty steady march towards acquiring those properties over the years, and there was kind of a lull in the action, I'm going to say. For a couple of years, there really wasn't much going on. Well, then with some of the events we had in 16 and 17, there was a whole bunch of houses that became eligible for funds, but these things take time to work through both the FEMA process as well as the state process. And basically what we said, you know what, there's enough of these now coming together where the person in Andy's department that actually is on contract with Sewer PAC to manage this program and negotiate with the homeowners and so forth that are eligible for it, he's had a pretty steady stream. So Jim and I kind of said, okay, let's put something together that, you know, puts all this in perspective for folks so they understand really the scope of what's going on. So Jim basically put together the resolution and, more importantly, I think the spreadsheets behind it kind of explain what's taken place. And then we've got a map that shows kind of where the properties are actually located. But Jim, I'm thinking if you want to walk through that spreadsheet
sure.
That's attached to the, hopefully it's in the packet, on the just after the signature page. There should be a one-page spreadsheet that kind of puts in perspective what's happening right now.
Yeah, we really started this. We had in our 2018 budget a line item to spend $800,000 on this waste mitigation property. It goes from FEMA, and then they kind of sub-manage it out to the Wisconsin Emergency Management System, and we'd be funded for $700,000 of that. So that got funded. We've been buying since that time. I think we bought on here like seven of the properties. But there's another $800,000 that's out there that we just have to, well, we've all actually already been approved if we pass this resolution to get it in our budget. And normally that would cost us another $700,000 and we'd have to pay the $100,000. But Salem Lights contributed $125,000 to the pot. So this is going to cost us nothing. So at the end of the day, with your approval, we will have purchased, there's 17 properties that are approved formally, but there's another 14 on the list. So if we go and negotiate and something happens and one of these 17 properties falls through, batter up, another one comes in and takes over. So for, really, our total cost is $100,000 we spent already, less the $25,000 that Salem Lakes is going to give us. We're going to get $1.6 million in properties for under $100,000. So we need to approve this this resolution so we can get the extra funding and pick up the rest of those properties. That's what's on that spreadsheet, so I don't know if anybody has any questions about
yeah.
it. But,
the Salem Lakes funding, does it have to be used on the Salem Lakes properties then? Because there's some in Salem Lakes and there's some in
yeah.
Okay, so that has to be.
Yeah.
But the first $125,000 is going
but that covers our whole.
Right.
Yeah. Salem Lakes or Wheatland are the two.
Yeah.
We actually already have the check.
What's that?
We have the check already.
Get in the bank quick.
So, as Jim said, really, we need to do this formal budget action so that we can put the monies in the right pots to actually make the purchases. So we've actually had Chris is his name, from Sewer PAC, hold off on doing any more closings till we get everything in place so then he can just set these things up and knock them down. And there's 17 up to bat, as Jim indicated, sometimes what happens is these numbers, because they got put together and things were negotiated with these homeowners maybe a year ago or a year and a half ago, now when the money finally gets through all the hoops and approved, the owner may have had a change of heart because now it's dry. Mm-hmm. And so some of these may fall off, like Jim has said, but then we just go, okay, fine, if you're not in anymore, then we just go down to the next one on the list and boom. So the monies all get spent to acquire those properties. And we don't know exactly where we're at in terms of the head count, but there was like 389, I think, properties to start.
Yeah, we started out in 1995 with 349 properties. About half of them were houses, and the other half were vacant lots. And the last time that I went through and did a real detailed analysis was in 2014. And at that point in time, we had acquired half of them. It was in 170-something. And since then, like Ray said, there was a little bit of a dry spell. There was a few here and there. But now we're going to pick up 17 more. I'm sure that we're past the two-thirds part because we were at half five years ago.
John?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I didn't hear, but what is our plan to do? What are we doing with these properties once we purchase them?
We tear them down.
Tear them down?
Yeah. So
okay.
Plant grass on them so that flooding
water can go.
Water can go to that spot now.
Without people being there.
So the water is diverted now because there's a house there, and then it goes and floods somewhere else.
Okay.
Now the water can be there peacefully, and homes are safe.
I just know okay. Here, and I'll make a motion to approve the second resolution.
Wait.
Yeah, in the resolution, total cost of purchase approximately 8 additional properties, but you're saying 17.
We already purchased
7.
Well, the first batch was to approve 7 or 8. We haven't bought them all yet out of the first 800,000. Yeah. We spent 500. I wrote that down there someplace.
So
we have spent like between 500 and 600,000 so far. So there's a little bit left to buy 2 or 3 more, and then that will be the first 8 out of the 800,000. Then the next 800,000 is approximately 8 more houses.
So in rough terms, it's like $100,000.
Give or take, yes.
You know, and is that
some are more, some are less.
The procurement of them, demolition, and then
that's included.
The restoration,
remediation, all included.
Right.
We won't have to do anything else. And then after that, we don't do anything with the properties, like cut them or maintain them. We just leave them.
So the $800,000 is coming from this. The hazard mitigation grant program? Is that correct?
Yes.
And there's no match for the county per se with that $800,000?
No.
Other than the 100.
And our match would have been 100, but yeah. We got 125 from Salem.
How many do we have currently in the queue then, if you would, if some of them have fallen off?
More.
Or enough to fulfill the 800 grand we're seeking here?
Yes.
Okay. So we won't be one short.
No.
Okay.
Once we get to the 17, there's 14 more, so if 1 or 2 or 3 of the 17 pop out, we'll be able to fill it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There's been a motion made by Supervisor Nordegan, I believe. Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah, he's second.
Okay. Supervisor Geske, any discussion? If not, you can go. Committee?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Then just to give a few other loose ends, weather has improved, activities in all the divisions have ramped up for both operations and projects. Making progress, I think, on a number of long-standing drainage issues and various road projects. Additionally, we're continuing to work on property acquisition for the PSB vicinity public safety communications tower. We're targeting the end of the year for completion of the acquisition of those properties downtown. Also working on the required archaeological investigation on the Silver Lake Tower site. Working with Baycom Motorola to finalize the pricing for constructing the two towers and the support buildings. It's still possible to start the Silver Lake Tower this year, but we may target the beginning of next year or spring of next year to do them both. We'll kind of see how it goes. As we move into the late summer, early fall, we'll get a more complete understanding of how challenging the shortage of long-term seasonal staff will impact park and golf operations. Matt and Dan still have a pretty good cadre of college kids at this point, but in the next few weeks, the herd's going to get thinned considerably, and then we're going to just have, we'll really kind of see where we're at. And hopefully we'll have enough long-term seasonals to get through what we got to the rest of the year. That's pretty much it from an overall standpoint.
Just a follow-up question on the property acquisition around the for those downtown properties. Is that going as expected, or are there any unexpected hurdles?
At this point, there is negotiations taking place between our real estate consultant and the four property owners. Two of them retained attorney, but they retained attorney before anything even started. Because a number of these attorneys solicit, they watch, they read these minutes online, and then we just got another one from Minnesota. Another attorney sent us a request for another project that's going on. So in any event, the negotiations at this point, I'd say, are all amicable. The four property owners appear cooperative and open to what's being talked about. So at this point, there isn't anything like a couple of the properties that we encountered on Highway S. Not yet. Could happen, but right now, things are moving, I'd say, in a positive direction. So the next month will be coming. I'm using S as the benchmark, yes.
Oh, we have half of them right away in there.
Yeah.
So there were two.
Yeah.
Anything else? If not, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Poole. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.